loudest? It's on the higher volume?
Yeah.
Want to X that and start over? The first 10 seconds up to you.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll cut it after. You don't care. Okay, so we have in this week's parasha, we have the, we start out the parasha with the laws of the Parah Aduma, which is relevant to the being mitar from someone contaminated dead body, obviously. And then in this parasha, we have both Aaron dying and Miriam dying. And the Gemara says that the reason why we put the Parah Aduma next to Miriam is just like the Parah Aduma is mechaper, the Parah Aduma, it creates some type of atonement, some type of purification process. When a righteous person passes away, we learn from Miriam as well that there's some type of purification process. Now there's a Medrash, a Yalkut, which is very interesting. The Yalkut says that a story, after Miriam died, here's a story. It says, Moshe and Aaron were asukimba. They were busy with her. It means the dead body, probably. Asukimba, they were busy with her. And then they sat down, and they started seeing Klai Yisrael coming toward them. Assumption would be, they're coming to, well, let's see, maybe Menachem Avil or something. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Aaron HaKohen, and this is what the Midrash says, and he says to him, you see all the people coming? Tell me why they're coming. Predict for me why they're coming. Aaron HaKohen, Oyer Shalom, Roider Shalom. Aaron HaKohen says, you know why they're coming? They're coming to be Goyim El Chesed. They come from Mishpachas of Bnei Rachmanim, the Avi Avos, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, the Bnei Rachmanim, the Bnei Chasadim. That's where they're coming. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, this is not a good, you don't know how to differentiate between different types of groups gathering together, and it's a chesaron on you. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Aaron Musa, it's a chesaron on you. They're not coming for that. I'm telling you, they're coming to complain. And Kachava, the Psukim say, they showed up at Moshe and Aaron, and you know what they started complaining? Give me Vasa. We have no water. And they started complaining. And that's the story it says over there between Moshe and Aaron. This interesting conversation. You have to know why they were having it here and stuff. That's for a different time. But later on, authorities ask Akasha. A very simple question. If you learn the word asukim ba, means they were busy with her, we have a rule in Judaism from Parshas Vayikra. In Chumash Vayikra, the rule is, a ordinary kohen is not allowed to contaminate himself. Ordinary kahanim do not go to funerals. Ordinary kahanim do not go into hospitals in most situations. When something happens and we turn them out, that's an ordinary kohen. Except for seven relatives. Seven relatives, an ordinary kohen can yes or must yes contaminate himself. Okay. What about a kohen gadol? Kohen gadol cannot contaminate even for these seven people. A kohen gadol is also even on the seven people. Okay. The question they ask now, if the lashon of the medrash says they were asukim ba, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, what was Aaron's job? Kohen gadol. How was Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron a kohen being involved with the burial of Miriam and Aviah? They're not allowed to be. A kohen gadol is not allowed, except for the seven relatives. Including that question is going to be, when you count the seven relatives, how does it work? It goes a wife, father, mother, brother, sister, son, and daughter. But a sister only applies to a single daughter. And Miriam and Aviah was married to Kalev. So the obvious question was this. Even if Moshe and Aaron were regular Kahanim, then not to be Matama. Certainly if the Kahanim Gedolim, Aaron a Kohen definitely was a Kohen Gadol. And according to a Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu might have had the status of a Kohen Gadol. You don't need one Kohen Gadol at all times. On Yom Kippur, they definitely had a second Kohen Gadol. When the Mashiach Muhammad would be going out into the war zone, he got the law of a Kohen Gadol. It's not limited to one Kohen Gadol. So Aaron a Kohen, the question is for sure, what is Aaron a Kohen doing burying Miriam and Aviah? She's a married sister, and even if she wasn't married, he's a Kohen Gadol. And Moshe Rabbeinu as well might be a Kohen Gadol. So yes and no, the question might be Moshe Rabbeinu. What is going on here? If you learn the Medrash, Asukim Bamin, they were busy with her burial. So, there is going to be different approaches. And I did not see the article until now, but I'm actually, they have a whole thing here. Good thing we just purchased it recently. First, we started Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra says, in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it says, you should know, Tana Rabbanan, Shisha, there were six people in the history of the world, Shalishalop and Malach HaMavis. They were not killed by the Malach HaMavis. It means normally, how does someone die? The angel of death shows up. Six people did not. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And the Gemara brings Sukkim. How do you know? And by Moshe and Aaron, it says, yeah, I'll tell you why. It says by Moshe and Aaron, two different Sukkim and Devarim, Lamed Dalet, Hey, and in this week's Parsha, actually, maybe later on, but it's the same thing, Aaron, Akoyim. Because by their deaths, it says, Al-Pi Hashem. They got, Yomas, Al-Pi Hashem. What does Al-Pi Hashem mean? The Lashon is Mises Neshika. It's like the Neshama was kissed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And that's why they died. And that means they died through HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and not through the angel of death. Frektimar the Abbas Kasha. The Pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem by Moshe. It says, Al Pi Hashem by Aaron. But it does say, Al Pi Hashem by Miriam. I think Rashi, this is Rashi, even quotes this. Amar Abelazah, Miriam Nami b'Meshika Mesa. Of course, Miriam also was. And he has a Gzeirah Shavah that proves it. Why didn't it say it? We've come to a Gzeirah Shavah. By Aaron, it says the words openly Al Pi Hashem. By Moshe, it says the words openly Al Pi Hashem. By Miriam, you have to come up with a Gzeirah Shavah. Why not to say it? So it says, Shegnaya double Oimer. It's an article. It would be indelicate. Whatever that word means. Indelicate to say such a thing. Okay. So far, we have a question on Aaron, on Miriam. They have a different pesukim there. Bakol mikol kol, like we say in benching, that was early in the Gemara. I'm only talking about these three now. Correct. Good question. So, it became a major machlokes, a massive machlokes that goes through probably in Midrashim, certainly to Rishonim, up until recently. And the question is, a new gang. Is there such a thing of tzaddikim, are they metamer gof? So, here we quote in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Reish Samach Gimel, Reish Samach Gimel, where he discusses the laws of tumah from a corpse, and he says like this. I want to tell you why dead bodies contaminate. Mechtes, why should dead body contaminate at all? Sha'ar Muzal, Levracha, because the Chacham say, Ki atzadikim gemurim einem etam. Let's read the bottom, it's easier, I think, right? How do you even read it? How do you find things here? At the sages say of blessed memory, it's a medrash shaychatoiv, Yalkut Shemoini, that the supremely righteous do not convey tumah upon their death. Why? It seems that this intent of the statement is they are free of tumah because their bodies are tohar v'naki, and they did not sin at all. Because their body is pure and clean and did not cause their soul to sin, but contrary, helped it to become meritorious. Therefore, they go up in the Shika, and they don't contaminate.
The Taisus
and Babasa. No, not Babasa, no. Ksuvus.
Ksuvus.
Yes, so the Medrash says like this. They quote a Medrash. The Medrash recounts that Eliyahu Anabi was by the Levaya of Rabbi Akiva. He was by the Levaya of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi, article's quoted, this in the bottom in the Chinuch. Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi came out to the Eliyahu Anabi and told him, Eliyahu Anabi, I think we're under the impression from Parshas Pinchas, Eliyahu Anabi, you are a Kohen. What are you doing in Rabbi Akiva's Levaya? And the Medrash says, he answered him, are you not a Kohen? Elijah responded, there is no tumah for Torah scholars and their Talmidim. How serious do we take this? So the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that by tzaddikim, since their body, what creates the tumah? The body that sinned on some level, but on an ultimate tzaddik that has a misin tzashika, or we're talking about Akiva, it doesn't say Rabbi Akiva needs tzashika, it says like this. They don't have the malach hamavis killing them, and therefore the Yohan Avi was able to go to Levaya. So I luckily came before Mincha, and in the insights, by article, we will quote some of it. An article says, insight, do the deceased righteous people transmit tumah? He quotes the Chinuch. The Chinuch suggests that they don't. Why not? I'm reading a little quicker, because there's no malach hamavis. That means when the malach hamavis is involved, it creates a tumah on the body, releasing some type of tumah. But if there's no malach hamavis, which happens by supremely righteous people, there's nothing to worry about. If we're going to stop here, there's a major heter. We're going to see if this works. And then he says, numerous commentators explain further that the tumah is a product of the angel of death. It doesn't work. A divine kiss does not work. There he's quoting C. Rabbeinu Bachya. And it's also in this week's Parsha, the Ramban in Parsha's Chukas, in the beginning of the Parsha, discussed this as well. So you have Rishonim telling you that a Kohen is allowed to go to a Beis HaKvaros, to Levaya. But the sages' statement that the supremely righteous do not have Tumah, there's another Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the day of Yehuda Nasi died, Rav Yana announced there's no Kahanic sanctity today. But we will skip the Yerushalmi to get to an open Gemara, because that is what Doc said. So Gemara says like this. Yes, Amar Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya said, "Oitzei Yoim, the day that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away. That was a big cloudy day in Klal Yisrael. The day that he passed away, Oitzei Shmeis Rebbe, the phrase of the Gemara was, Batla Kedusha. The day that Rebbe died, holiness ceased. Holiness ceased, what does that mean? So the simple interpretation is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the last of the Mohicans, as they say. There's always someone who represents something. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda died, there was no one else who possessed the attribute of holiness. So every time you have someone who passed away, like they have always, he was the last one from the Yeshiva of Slobodka. He was the last one of the Belsky Brigades, right? It's the end of an era. End of an era. So the simple way of understanding this is that Amar Rav Chiya, Oyseyom Shemesh Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, what happened? Batla Kedusha. It means on some level, there's no more Kedusha in the world. The Kedusha was batla because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi represented Kedusha. He never put his hands below his belt. And it's a whole paragraph here, which we're not doing at length, of how it describes that he had this special attributes that died. Alternatively, which Tosis quotes this, what does it mean that it was batla Kedusha? There was no Kedusha on that day. So we're learning Kedusha means a general concept of holiness. Lav Dafka, anyone specifically. The world had something called people who are holy. No more world of people are holy. But Tosis quotes Reb Chaim HaKoyen, his name Reb Chaim HaKoyen, so Rishon, he was a Koyen. Rav HaKoyen Koyen HaYomer, El Mala HaYisi, Kishanifter Rebbeinu Tam. If I would have been there when Rebbeinu Tam died, HaYisi Metam Aloy. The Batla Kedusha. What does it mean, Batla Kedusha? Hainu Kedushas Kahuna. There's no more Kedushas Kahuna. Not that it's a concept of holiness. A Koyen has special Kedusha. And when the Gemara is saying, on the day Rebbe dies, which now Reb Chaim HaKoyen is saying, not just Rebbe, any great leader of a generation dies, Batla Kahuna, the Kedusha means the Kedusha of the Koyen, and a Koyen can walk into a Beis HaChaim and into a Leviat, no problem when a holy person passed away. Tosis right away argues. Tosis says, no, Reb Chaim HaKoyen, that sounds like a Nero the Rebbe. No, that doesn't go that way. The Meduma, that doesn't work that way at all. Maybe if you have Rias, any Rias you're going to say will be Tumah de Rabbanim. Tosis is already being a little more makel. On a Tumah biblical, to say that you're getting rid of biblical Tumah, that's a real rough thing to say. But rabbinic contamination, okay, maybe you're going to do that. So now you have a Tosis who's saying, so let's go by step by step. First, you have a concept of the Rishonim saying that when someone holy passes away, it could be that's Mises Neshika. That's an extreme situation. That's not a regular person. I mean, the Gemara is saying six people in the history of the world. Six people in the history of the world have this something called Mises Neshika, and they don't discuss Tum at all. The Gemara that discusses Mises Neshika doesn't know about Tum at all. But then we have a Gemara saying when Rebbe died, and we have the Rishonim now talking about why there's Tumas Mace, and now it starts coming that there's a possibility. And now Oshkol, as we just quoted, is quoting a couple of these riots. However, Oshkol says, most Rishonim maintain that Kahanim may not come into contact with even the corpse of supremely righteous people, for they do generate Tuma. Now, what have all these Midrashim? Eliyahu Navi was there. So he says, Eliyahu Navi was just being machin avek. Why is he machin avek? He said he didn't want to get into a conversation. He asked him, what are you doing here? Yeah, Rabbi Kiva is special. But what was he doing there? What was Eliyahu Navi doing at the Levaya? So Tosis explains, based on another Yerushalmi, that there's another heter. When is a Koyin allowed to be matam himself? When is a Koyin Goldol allowed to be matam himself? By a Meis Mitzvah. If there's no one available to bury the person, what does B'chayiv mean? Not him, it has to be the next guy. If Elio is a Koyin, it has to be that the other person. So it's called the Meis Mitzvah. If he's a Koyin, he's not allowed to do it. So here it says, the Medrash relates that Elio was able to enter the prison and miraculously move Rabbi Akiva's body without any of the guards noticing. So he was, Rabbi Akiva's body was like, you know, Maram Ruttenberg and stuff. So he, okay, maybe. That's what he was trying to say. Okay. It says, but that's what he asked him. He asked him what he's doing there. No, the Chassam Sofer famously says that Eliyahu HaNavi appears in this world under two different hats. There's the hat like the Bris Mila, where nobody sees him or nothing, and then he's allowed to travel. The Chassam Sofer is a kasha. Eliyahu HaNavi, how is he violating Shabbos? He's at the Bris in Brooklyn and the Bris in Paris on the same day. How did he travel there? So Chassam Sofer comes up with a famous idea. That Eliyahu HaNavi wears two hats. One is the angel Eliyahu HaNavi, and then he's not limited by regular halachas, because he's an angelic form. And then there's when he shows up in a regular form, where then he has to keep all the halachas. And then there's a question when he says, Eliyahu HaNavi tells you, by the way, I'm telling you details, are you allowed to rely on Eliyahu HaNavi? A, Navi b'shamayim, you don't rely on it. Question of how Eliyahu appears. When he's wearing the hat as an angel, you can't listen to him, as far as halacha goes, because he's irrelevant. But when he's coming, a regular person. Here, right now, they're not saying Eliyahu HaNavi is that. They're saying Eliyahu HaNavi had a different reason. Rabbi Akiva's body was held without guard. Rabbi Akiva's body was held. Eliyahu HaNavi came in without bodyguards. Since no one else was able to bury him, Rabbi Akiva became the Meis Mitzvah. Since he's a Meis Mitzvah, Eliyahu had a heta. So you have to start looking around. And now, Oshkol said it as well. Nowadays, the office of Nasi does not exist. So when we say Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, look how far this went. The Gemara said Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, and the Gemara said Batla Kedusha. Batla Kedusha could mean generically, or Batla Kedusha meant Kayahanim are allowed. Let's say we would say Kahanim are allowed. Does that now go to after the Znasim? Reb Chaim HaKoyen says, yeah. Reb Chaim HaKoyen says, when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have gone as well. So Oshkol says, nowadays, the office of Nasi does not exist. Nevertheless, Tosfos stated that had he been present, he would have gone to Rabbeinu Tam. That was because Rabbeinu Tam, who's Rabbeinu Tam? The greatest Torah scholar of the generation. So in the view of Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen held that you're allowed to go. However, of course, Oscar says again, it's rejected by Tosfos as well as other halachic authorities. The halachic authorities therefore note that Kahanim may not participate in the burial rites of the great ones of the generation, nor may they contaminate themselves by approaching the grave of any person. And now, over the years, some Hasidish Rebbes and Rav Spielman wrote a whole sefer on this fascinating thing they have put together, where it seems like many stories of Gedolim, Kahanim, have gone to Gedolim Levayis, by Rebbes, by Hasidish Rebbes. So it became a great debate. We have a very simple situation. Do the tzaddikim contaminate Kahanim or not? Now let's get back to our sugya here.
Well,
so some want to say that unless it's when in doubt by a biblical obligation, you have to hold back. So how are we going to know when someone kills Banashika? The Gemara is quoting specific psukim to tell you Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Miriam, Aaron. But everyone else you think is a righteous person. Okay, you think is a righteous person. Does that give you the confidence to go there? So some want to say that there might be a leniency in reality, but it's not a leniency in reality because you can't go. Again, because then everyone's going to determine what a tzaddik is. Maybe.
You're saying we don't know who real tzaddik is anyway, so therefore it's not relevant.
Right. Possible, yes. So we have the question, let's go back to our question. We had a medrash that started another story. Moshe and Aaron were asukimba, they were busy, which it seems when you read the medrash, they were burying Miriam Hanaviah. They were busy with her, and then the whole Kleisol came to complain about the water, because when Miriam died, the water stopped. So the question was, Aaron, HaKoyen Gadol, what are you doing burying your sister? So over the course of this conversation, we might have some potential answers. First of all, you can go the easiest answer and just say that, yeah, all tzaddikim, and Miriam is no less than any tzaddik of everyone else, therefore she's allowed. Okay?
Once, so, what, by Aninus, right? Aninus, you say about a person that is oisik in the burial, even though he's not physically involved in the burial, he's having issues, but he's still considered that he's
oisik. So you want to say a sukumba means not that they're... Right. So the question is just that when it says Asukamba and the way the story reads in the Medrash, it seems like the whole Kleisol wasn't there. They were coming to complain against Moshe Rabbeinu. But yes, that is a possibility to say it doesn't mean literally. So one answer is going to be easy to say, all tzaddikim. You have a heter, all tzaddikim. Okay, it's extreme. You could say that the chinuch's lashon was interesting. The chinuch didn't say all tzaddikim. The chinuch said those who die als misas nashika. And the Gemara already said that three people died als misas nashika, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So it could be that the chinuch is saying that regular tzaddikim, I don't know, don't take a chance, or even if you know it too bad, it has to be death ayidei neshika. Since we learned from the Gemara that Miriam died ayidei neshika, so it could be that the heter of this medrash is not proper on Azariah, the medrash that says that Moshe and Aaron were busy with Miriam is because they held misas neshika as a heter. Or you could say that they're regular tzaddikim. The third answer is going to be, you could say what I thought you were going to say, that, wait a second, we said before that a mace mitzvah, Eliyahu HaNavi was allowed to go to Rabbi Kiva's, take care of Rabbi Kiva. Why? No one else is around. So what happened over here? It says that the whole Klai Yisrael was busy looking for water. So maybe you want to say that the whole Klai Yisrael was busy looking for water, and Miriam became a mace mitzvah. And just in case you think that's a wild idea.
Her husband was alive.
Yeah, but it says that...
Your husband is leaving her to go looking for wood.
So to answer your question, everyone heard that question? Because I was going to say, which I didn't like myself, going to say that she's a mace mitzvah. Why? Because everyone was complaining, and Rebelli's right. Everyone's complaining. They're going to see him there. Kalev Ben Yefuna was there. So I want to tell you some soifah, which I myself have a hard time understanding. But the some soifah in Chela Gimel Adrashas learns, a chiddush nara. Why was there no water after Miriam passed away? And there's a debate about this. The some soifah learns that Klai Yisrael on purpose were not getting involved with Miriam's death. Unbelievable. Chassam Sofer. He doesn't speak what we're talking about, but I'm using this for your answer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Yidden decided, which way I'm reading it, that the name of the well, we call it Anane HaKovet. Not Anane HaKovet of Aaron. We said many times, there were three great leaders who create three great gifts in the desert. Moshe created the Mon, right? Aaron created the Anane HaKovet. And the Be'er Shamiriam is Be'er Shamiriam. And we spoke about this before. Why does Be'er Shemirim get her name? Why don't we call it the Mon Shal Moshe? Anani HaKovet Shal Aaron? We don't do that. We call it Be'er Shemirim. Why does she get the name? So the Chassam Sofer, without asking this as well, in Chelek Gimel says a fascinating thing. The Jews decided that they did not show enough respect for Miriam and they want to lift up Miriam. They want to lift her up. So the Chassam Sofer says the Jews revolted. They put on a coup. They gathered together as a union and they said, we're not going to be Isaac at all in Miriam. We're not going to be masped her. Because it says a fascinating thing. It says Miriam, Vatoma Sham, she died and they buried her. 5 seconds later, about Aaron, it says he died. Everyone cried and they buried him. It left out everyone cried by Miriam. So Chassam Sofer says, he says these words, I want to be dan lekafchus. When you stam read the psukim, it's a negative on Klai Yisrael. Kliyoker on a page, if anyone has a chance, says it's mamish. The Kliyoker says that the reason the water stopped was not because Miriam died. The reason the water stopped was because Klai Yisrael was not masped her. It's a medrash. So because they were masped, it stopped. Chassam Sofer changed it. He said, I want to be dan lekafchus. The reason that the Klai Yisrael was not masped Tzara, they have Miriam. They avoided the Levi, he says. They avoided burying her because they wanted to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring back the water. We want to show you how much we love her. And we're like on strike. We're on strike until we get covered to Miriam. It's reverse psychology. We're not going to give her covered because we're going on strike in order for you to bring back the water that we're always going to name it Berisha Miriam. According to Chassam Sofer, it was not called Berisha Miriam until after she died. Which means, we could assume, that even Kalev was involved with that. The only people that didn't get involved was Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron said, what is this? We're going to take care of it. So Moshe and Aaron had a heter. Either ordinary tzedekas, either Mises Nashika is a special heter, which no one else would know, but Moshe and Aaron would know. If it's Mises Nashika, Moshe and Aaron knew that. Or we're going to say now Meis Mitzvah. Why is it a Meis Mitzvah? Because Klai Yisrael decided to avoid getting involved in order to do it. I'll give one more answer, then we'll get to the food. There's a rush that we don't hold by. The Beis Yosef quotes this rush and says, Loi re'inu v'loi nagu ken. Loi re'inu v'loi nagu ken. I think I saw it here. Also, they didn't quote the rush. And that is a special thing. That he says that by great people, put quotes around great, because I don't know what that means. I don't know what great means. By great people, the rush writes, a koyen can go to the Levaya. On the condition if you don't reach 600,000 people. There's like an inyan to make it 600,000 people to get to a Levaya. So it could be, that Aaron HaKoyen, I don't know how you look at Klai Yisrael, how many people in the desert, who's there, who's not there. And you're not, I don't know. It could be that maybe Moshe and Aaron held that normally Avada, regular tzaddikim, I don't know. But to get to the 600,000, it could be, I'm saying this myself, that on a normal Levaya, when it's going to be 185 people, 625 people, a Koyen can't go. Because, listen, we know you're not hitting 600,000. So if you're not hitting 600,000, then there's no heter to go. But it could be if you think we're getting close, we have 580,000, now we got to figure out, wait a second, let's get 10,000, 20,000 Kahanim to go, then maybe it's a heter to go. Again, the Beis Yosef says, I don't know what this is, lo yireinu noyigin ken, we don't see such a thing. But there is a lumdus, to be metama, but as a side thing in general to know, there is a concept that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes about numerous times, that when it comes to a Leviah, what's the mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah? And Rav Moshe held in a few places that there's a mitzvah on people to go to Leviah. The cover mace, that means on you. You can't say I'm relying on everybody else. It's a mitzvah shibagufi almost. Every person, you can't say there'll be a minion there. Every person in a way has an obligation to show up. So anyway, let's go back to what we did in Chazara. We have a medrash that seems to say Moshe and Aaron, were busy with her kvura. And the kash is, Aaron's a Kohen Gadol, maybe Moshe's a Kohen Gadol. What's the heter? Either ordinary tzaddikim, either Mishas the Shika, special tzaddikim, either mace mitzvah, which we didn't like, except Chassam Sofer says it was a revolt, or you have this special thing that were coming up to 600,000, maybe they were allowed to contaminate themselves to reach the 600,000. Can I be Akasha? Anyway, our article here on 263, on the insights, is actually pretty well written. I mean, I don't like the English of it, but
the question of what causes the...